Welcoming back Quincy Councillor at Large Anne Mahoney to the program to get an update now that the council is back in session. Hey Anne, nice to see you.
Hi Joe, always so nice to be with you.
Oh, thank you, a pleasure. Last time I talked, I can't remember quite when, but it was at the outbreak of the pandemic. So how was your summer?
Yeah, no, it was, you know, it's been an interesting time. You know, I think it is an opportunity for people to kind of re-engage with their neighbors and to reconnect with their families. And it's very challenging. You know, I have parents that are in their 90s and, you know, they live a pretty productive life and they want to be out and about, and they're finding some limitations too. So I think we're all living with the same issues. You know, we want everybody to wear their masks and follow along so that we can get past this. I just saw in the news that if we do have a vaccine, it won't be until 2024 that everybody is immunized. So that's terrifying to me. But, you know, we will do what we need to do to get past this as a community, as we always have. So
I think, yeah, the situation now is better in Quincy than it was last time we chatted, certainly in terms of death toll or cases, things like that. Yeah.
In Quincy and in Massachusetts, I mean, I know there's a few towns that are having some problems, but just in general, we're doing much better. But in other parts of the country, that's what's so scary, is we can be doing great here, but then all it takes is, as we all know, all it takes is you know, one big outbreak and we could be back. And, you know, they're actually saying that the first wave is not even complete yet, and we're headed into the colder months and shorter days, colder days, and we'll be back inside. So. And they have made that prediction, that correlation, that the more you're outside, the less likely, and the more you are inside, and if there's more people inside with you, the more likely, you know, you can contract it. So it's scary. It's still a very scary and real thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. I think we'll continue to be with us for a while, the new normal, quote unquote. I'm curious to get, you know, what the biggest item, I guess, right now is kids going back to school, and having served on the school committee yourself, curious to get your take on the plan.
I do think obviously in a perfect world, the best way to learn would be in person, especially with, you know, with the fact that our kids have never really done remote before, and our spring season in remote was just we weren't prepared for it. So I think we're better prepared going back into the fall season. However, you know, there's a lot of disconnects as to whether or not it's the best thing for our kids. That is up to the school committee, obviously, and I know that they put a lot of effort into it. I know we spent a lot of money in trying to get the buildings up to par. I'm not sure. I don't get to watch all of the school committee meetings, so I'm not sure. So that really is in the hands of the school committee, and it's a big challenge, and I don't envy some of the decisions they have to make, but I don't think it's going to be a short cycle. You know, we have to learn to adapt with what's happening in the world right now, both in the classroom and at work in our day-to-day lives. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do that seamlessly so that the kids will be able to have the opportunities to learn, and the teachers and the school system will be able to adapt to those things. It's not going to be an easy task, though. And
yeah.
I don't envy it.
Yeah. Probably being a little thankful that you're not on the school committee right now.
You know, I do miss, at times I do miss being on it. I mean, these are the challenges of things that you really do want to make sure and ensure that the right discussions are happening, so that we are, the most important thing is the education of our students and the stability, because, you know, in more affluent communities, they're going to have access to all of the things that they need. And, you know, in Quincy, we have definitely a large, diverse population. And it's really important that every child has the opportunity, like the haves and the have-nots. This is what Dr. Cristofaro is saying all the time, is to ensure that all of our students, whether the person had all of the needs, all of the things that they needed, or somebody who didn't have any access to that, but they had access to it. And the playing field was leveled when they came into a classroom. And it's ensuring that that playing field is the same at all of their homes too. And it's a huge challenge. I mean, we just had some internet connection problems, and, you know, and that's just with me to you to QATV. So it's a very challenging time, and it's not just the elementary, it's also middle high school. Some of the seniors that are trying to make decisions as to where they're going to go next year, whether or not SATs, how they're going to be tested, and even our college kids, you know, the world has changed tremendously, and we've all had to adapt. And some things have been easier than others, but most things have caused many people anxiety.
Sure. Well, speaking of education, there was a major item, of course, on the City Council agenda for the first meeting of the new year regarding the Special Education Center. And I know that it was put on the table basically at your request. So why was that?
Yeah. So the reason why I was putting it, so one of the things that was brought to our attention is that with this global pandemic, the ordering of anything that we want, we're months behind. And that isn't everything. If you're at home and your dishwasher is gone, this happened at my house, it's months, that you're going to take months to get that into because it's back ordered. So almost everything that we're doing, whether it's in construction, work, or anything we're doing, back orders are happening and things are delayed. So the start of anything that we're going to do with this building is delayed, by Mr. Hines saying, at least by 6 months. So rushing to the table, the first meeting, and saying this is the most precious thing that we need to do in the city of Quincy right now because it's going to save us money in the long run. It may not be, to me, the most prudent thing to do because we are in the middle of a pandemic. We don't know where things are going. One of the conversations that they didn't bring up that I would have thought the administration would have come back to us is, what have we done so far with COVID and how much has it cost us? You know, we don't know if the federal government is going to be able to, to refund us some of the things that we've done. And how does that impact us as a city? You know, but the first thing that came was with a $14 million, bonding request. And, it's not going to happen for 20 months. So, and the fact is that we're in the middle of COVID and they're planning for what they think is the best practices for that building with the HVAC systems as of today. But we might learn in 6 months that something else would be the best practices. So we might be premature in jumping into building something with the direction that we're going with today that could change tremendously in 6 months to 9 months down the road, even the way education is happening. So I think we should probably slow the pace a little bit and have a bigger conversation. Set the priorities for the city. We have a lot of things we read in the paper, and the city council learns at the same time as everybody else what this administration wants. You know, whether it's a art center or a library or a $100 million police station and a fire station that hasn't been estimated, an educational facility that was never on the table, St. Mary's that we purchased. I can keep going. Do you want me to keep going? Squanum Elementary School is on the table. There are so many things that are on the table. And when you add all those prices up, it's a large number. And we have to set some priorities to determine where we're going. What are the real needs that we need for our city? And how we can balance if we have a wave two of COVID. And then I added to that conversation as well. And we have streets. We obviously have the capital improvement. We have streets and things that we need to have accomplished. We have a lot of money that's out there already that we haven't finished the project or have seen an idea of what's been accomplished, what needs to be done. But finally, one of the things that we don't talk about, and this is where we lack empathy in the city of Quincy. We have 100,000 people who live in our city. 60% of those people are in our workforce, and 20% of that workforce is either underemployed or unemployed, 20%. Now, in a normal year, that average would be much lower, 2 or 3%. But 20% since last year, Joe. So when we talk about that, those people are teetering on the edge and they can't afford a penny more to be spent because they're trying to figure out how they are going to prioritize their own lives. So it's concerning to me that we just keep continuing to put more and more on the backs of our taxpayers without a real vision as to where we're going to go and how we're going to get there with this pandemic. And I think that's something the administration has to come back and explain.
The mayor has said as late as this morning, actually, that his goal is to keep property taxes steady for this year. So this would not have an impact on the taxes.
But this year. Yeah. So we know that this year, because the state has come back and said that they would try to manage this year, just like most companies, most organizations, you'll hear that we're going to try not to lay people off in 2020. Everybody's doing the same thing. So I applaud the mayor because I think that's a good thing that he's not going to raise the taxes. In fact, that's what he promised last June when he put that budget before us. And it looks like the state is going to come back and be able to fund us through this year. But what we don't know is what next year is going to bring. And from everywhere you read and everything you look at, whether it's, from the Federal Reserve to even the future, people will say, well, the stock market's doing great. Well, that's great for people who are investing in the stock market. But for people who are living paycheck to paycheck, which there's a lot of them in the city of Quincy, renters are having a hard time renting. Moratoriums are done on our mortgages. Eventually, those things will go away. And when they do go away, the idea that those bills don't come due, they do. And people who are struggling are really going to be struggling. So you'll see things happen. So the economy and the number of people who are unemployed is really the thing that you should be focusing on, and how fast people are going back to work. So I do think it's something that we have to be concerned with.
Do you agree with the Special Education Center in concept, Andy? Do you think it's a good idea in concept?
Well, I do think when they purchased the building, it kind of came from nowhere. And the program itself had never been built out. So I had been on the school committee for a long time, and the programs that they talked about in the school committee was more of a language-based learning program. And that would be more for kids that, it does not mean that we don't have a population of kids that are in need of this program, but one of the programs we talked about that would be beneficial for all students in all different grades, and whether you were in the class or not in the class, was basically the language-based learning, because it's another area of need that the kids get sent out of the school system for. But we never really spoke about purchasing a building for autistic kids. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not a need. It just, the purchase of the building was very quick. The program was not built out, and the administration came before us and they did not have a program. And when they were purchasing the building, I did struggle with that. I mean, in my heart, I wanted to say no, but I said present, because I believe in education. I believe in doing what's right for our students. But I also believe that no matter what, the students will be taken care of, and it will be a cost to the city, but this is a big cost as well. $14 million plus the $8.5 million that we've already invested into the building is $22.5 million. And the savings is around $340,000 is what they're saying. It's a very hard way to look at things, but is that something that we can afford to take on today? Or is it something that we should hold and maybe take on in a year? We bought St. Mary's School with the idea that St. Mary's was also going to deal with overcrowding, and we have not used it. So it's not like the city isn't in the business of purchasing things and not using them. And I'm not saying that they shouldn't use this building. And I'm not even saying that they shouldn't actually ask for the money, but I think they need to prioritize what is the need and what we should be going for first. Is it $100 million? Because something's not going to happen. And if it's $14 million for the special education building, and that is the priority, and then all the other things go to the side until we can get through this pandemic and figure out our way out of what the next 6 to 12 months to 18 months are going to be, then that's the way we go. Most other communities, Joe, are holding back on big spending right now because they're trying to stabilize themselves as they move forward. And, any place you talk, you'll hear is that, keep your cash in your pocket and keep your debt low, your debt ratio low, as you move forward to try to navigate what are tricky waters that are ahead of us. It's not the time to go out and buy a boat. It's the time to, really kind of figure out if you need your kitchen done over, or do you need your new roof put on? Do you need a hit? Is it your heating that you need to adjust? These are the things that people at home are doing, and they're making those adjustments. So rational people at home that are living through this are making those decisions, and they're expecting government to do the same thing. They're expecting us to make smart choices for them so that when the bills do come due, that we can all be able to balance them together. So what are our priorities, and what is it we're trying to accomplish? And every time you read the newspaper, there's a new priority. We're going to have an art center down in the Messina lot. We're going to have an Adams Academy over at the Adams Academy, and they're going to blow it out. Those are all great things to talk about, but where do they fit into the future, the 5-year, the 2, 3, 4, 5-year plan for the city of Quincy, which we never get. We only get the 1 year out, and when the mayor or the administration wants to bring to us the appropriations that they want to bond. Are they the appropriate time to do it? And are we thinking about the people who live in those homes that have to pay those taxes, that are struggling? And trust me, 60%, like I said, of the workforce, but 15 to 20% of them are 65 and plus. They're on a fixed income. And 15% are 18 and younger. And I got that from the census. So when you look at that, are we considering what it's like to be the person who doesn't have a job? Are we considering what it's like to be the person who's not getting the extra $600 a month when they're on unemployment? Are we considering what it's like to not know where your next paycheck is coming from, your next meal is coming from, or how you're going to pay your rent or your taxes, the very thing that keeps our city afloat. So I think we do have to take those things into consideration, be responsible about what we're doing. And I'm not seeing that right now.
You mentioned the police station. I know that the council agreed to lease a building to Father Bill's mm-hmm. homeless shelter just across the street to kind of set mm-hmm. the stage for the new police station. Does that mean that you're in favor of that project?
Well, what I will say is that I was not in favor of the purchase of those buildings as well. And I think the Chris Walker basically said it was back in 2019 that we voted on it. It was actually at the last council meeting in March before the pandemic hit. So the last time we were all together that we voted for that. And I actually asked them to slow it down then too, because we were headed into what I believed was going to be a recession or some real unstable times. Did I ever believe, Joe, in my wildest dreams that we would be working from home still to this day, or that we would have so many deaths and so many just disparaging things that have happened to organizations and businesses throughout our community, throughout our state? I never believed that at that time that we were going there. But I did paint that picture that, you know, we should be careful about how fast we're moving on these things. And they went ahead and purchased it. That same night, I was asking questions about Father Bill's. If they were to do it, what was their plan? They would be taking them offline. Taking Father Bill's offline does not mean you erase the or eradicate the problem that exists for homelessness. And I know very many people want to say Father Bill shouldn't be here in Quincy. But if whether Father Bill's is here in Quincy or not, we still have a large problem that we have to deal with in the city of Quincy. And, you know, Father Bill's does meet a need and they're overcrowded. So the new building being forced upon them, I do believe that they have the 99-year lease is the right thing to do, because it gives Father Bill's the opportunity to go after the capital investments that they need to be able to build that building out. The bigger problem, Joe, lies in the fact that there is no plan for how this is going to happen. And if the city of Quincy will be paying for the relocation once, twice, or three times. And that's something the taxpayers should be really closely watching, because we should be working with them and making sure that they have the right location, get the funds, and maybe slow that train down too. Although the police station is in bad shape. But we were also promised that that was going to be something that would house both the police and the fire. And now it's just going to house the police and administration for the fire department with another building that has to be done. And is this the right location? It floods. You know, we are having a lot of problems about that too. So I'm not saying that I'm against doing something in regards to the police station, because the police station is in bad shape. What I'm saying is that we tend to put all our eggs in one basket without really thinking everything out. And we jump really fast. You know, we're talking about an arts center down in Quincy Center in the Messina parking lot that we bought back. We one time, way back when, if everybody remembers, we had something called the Wollaston Theater. $600,000 is what it would have cost to purchase that, and it would have been $10 million to build that out. And it was considered obscene. We would never spend that kind of money. But now we're talking about $100 million. And it's the same administration that thought that was obscene that thinks $100 million is not obscene. So, you know, and it's taxpayers. And, you know, I'm just trying to paint the picture of why we need to really have that strong discussion of what are we doing right now and how are we preparing for the next, as I said, 6, 12, 18 months, because everybody else is having that discussion. But in Quincy, we rely on the fact that nothing has changed and we're going to continue down the path as if nothing has changed. You can even see it in just the downtown. Box Rock has had a lot of promises to what was going to come, and it just looks like they're moving dirt. Quite honestly, we haven't seen much happen there. And, you know, it's interesting because they seem to want to sit down and talk to everybody when they should be coming back before the full council so that the whole city can hear what the advantages of Box Rock and what they've done. And we haven't had that happen either. And the administration should want to share that with us.
Yeah, and I know there's a plan to further develop the Hancock lot as well. There'll be another LDA coming before the council soon for some property there for some new development too. So is that something that you're concerned about?
Mm-hmm. I haven't actually, which lot is that, just to be clear, so we know which one you're talking about?
So it's, I guess, where Gentle Dental used to be in the back lot there, where mm-hmm. Kelly's used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Haven't heard much about that yet. I know that the other LDA on the other side of the city, in the one over by, on the other side of Hancock Street, where the Cliveden Street is.
Yes.
That one is also there. And that one I've sent back. I've had multiple conversations, because I do share ordinance. I've had multiple conversations with the attorney, Jim Shea, and I put multiple phone calls into the city in regards to that, because that LDA came before us, and it's basically a boilerplate with no information in it. It has very dated information in it. It doesn't have a start date or an end date. And if we were just take that and take it for what it says, we would be really in trouble because basically they would own that lot. They didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to do anything for the next 30 years to do that. And it's two distinctly different lots that they're asking to do that should be separated into two different things. So we have a lot of things that are happening, but you know, I'm not one to just say, sure, let me have it and I'll do all the work for you. I believe if you want to do development in the city of Quincy, that it should come in with a very clear direction as to what they want to do. And we shouldn't be negotiating it in front of city council. That is the job of the administration, to make sure that these pieces and packages come before us in a solid way. And, you know, and the thing is that, you know, there are going to be things that we find as a council, and that's the important thing that we do, that we protect the taxpayers for that. But we also want to make sure that we're pushing back on the developers to make sure that they're doing what we expect them to do as well. Because quite honestly, right now, this has been a gift. The city of Quincy has been a gift to the developers, but it has not been a gift to the taxpayers of the city of Quincy. And the taxpayers are expecting at some point to see the value of all the things that we're doing. And right now, they're not seeing that. They don't have the stores to shop in. Now they don't have the restaurants to go to. Some of them they do. But, I mean, the restaurants are struggling too. So we have a lot of things that are going on. And part of it is because of the struggle that we have with COVID-19. That's nothing that the administration has done, but it is something that we have to adapt to and learn with. So these are things that, you know, come at us in different directions. And we have to be agile enough to be able to figure out how we can work with and around those obstacles that we have.
Do you feel, Anne, that you have the support of your colleagues in the council as kind of a fiscal watchdog, or do you
feel? Well, it surprises me, truthfully. Yeah, it surprises me, truthfully, to tell you the truth, Joe, because many of them have had their own opportunities to actually stand up and say that they want the same things that I'm asking for, but have changed their mind as to whether or not they want it now. But now more than ever is when we should want it. Now more than ever, we should be questioning the monies that we're spending. I can understand when it comes to the educational building, I can understand wholeheartedly why it's so easy to want that. I mean, we all want things. And that's one that you will want because it's going to actually provide services to families that are in need of it. I'm struggling the fact that I question that. But at the same time, if I provide something, this is what my bigger concern is, Joe. If you say yes to something that may take 2 or 3 years down the road, in the meantime, we have layoffs in the city of Quincy because we weren't prepared for what's going to be coming down the road. Those things make me struggle because really what we should be trying to do is really, as I said before, when you're at home, you're trying to figure out what's the best thing that we can do for my family. You know, if the best thing I can do for my family is make sure that we stay intact by pulling in on certain things so that we can ride out the hard times, that doesn't mean that we can't have some things that are great that are going on in our family. It just means that we have to be conscientious of what we're doing. And we can't just say yes to everything. And the fact that Mr. Hines said that they're 6 months behind globally in anything that we can order, and they can't put together a project plan because of that timeline, but they need the money to be able to hire the general contractor. The general contractor that won't be able to do anything for 6 to 9 months. So it just seems to me that we're rushing to get the money, but not rushing to figure out what it is that the priorities are. Yeah, so we're not going to be solving those special education needs for at least 20 to 26 months. So maybe we should slow down a little bit to figure out what are the needs of the city so that we're making sure that we're making those right investments. And there's a lot of promises right now, Joe, from the Arts Center to a library to a 15-story building for the college. There's a lot of talk about these things and how they're all going to work. Maybe none of them will. Maybe some of them are pipe dreams. I don't know. But there are some that are probably very in need. And we need to know what those are and what those are for a priority from this administration. So whether or not that I have support or not support from the city council, those are the very questions that our constituents are asking. Now, I know that sometimes people can get excited about things and say things aren't done right. I did speak twice at that meeting, but I'm not the chair of the meeting. Mr. McCarthy is the chair of the finance committee. I said, whenever I can have a chance, I did have a couple of extra questions I wanted to ask. I wasn't in control of that. And I don't think anything would have changed. If there was a motion that was put on the table to accept, a tabling would have stopped it. So it doesn't matter. And the conversation was fruitful. There was a lot of stuff that we did learn from that. And one of the things is that we're not going to have it anytime soon. So what's the rush?
It's back on the agenda, as you're well aware, for Monday night, the 21st. How will you react that night?
Well, it will be interesting because I think, if I heard right, the mayor seems to think that I'm confused. He seems to think I might be rusty. And he seems to think that I'm only looking for a 5-year capital improvement plan. But what I was very specific about asking for was what the priorities of the city is. So it's not about what the bond is that comes before me at the time that they choose to bring it forward. It's the question of we're in a different time. We're in a state of emergency through our city, our state, and our country. And whether or not you want to believe that, all you have to do is watch the news, because COVID is not changing. We might be doing better in Quincy, but it hasn't gone away. And at any time, it can rear its ugly head again, Joe. So I want to know what this administration's priorities are, because at some point, the rest of the council is going to have to say no. Because the only way you can keep up with the spending is to tax people for what you spend. So if you want to spend $14 million for a special education building, that might be your priority. But when you come back for $100 million for a police station, that might be your priority too. But at some point, you're going to have to actually figure out how you're going to pay for these things. So those are important things to take into consideration. And when we don't know, 60% of our workforce, 20% of them are unemployed or underemployed. And let's face it, there was one thing I did say, and they said that catches everybody. And it's not true. For the person who owns the restaurant, they can't apply for unemployment. Once those doors close, they don't have the income that's coming in, and they have a lot of debt that is owed. A self-employed person who works as a contractor cannot collect unemployment. Once that contract is gone, so is their income. So I'm not suggesting, and those are risks that they take when they take on those types of things. When good times are good, they're doing well. And when bad times are bad, it's very hard, but they're not part of the statistics that we talk about. And there's very many of them in the city. And my heart does go out to them, because it is a very hard thing to do, is to run your own business. And also in the restaurant business, it's an extremely hard business to be successful in. And it teeters very closely on what happens. And when their doors get closed, it's hard to keep open. And you're seeing it happen not only in Quincy, but throughout Boston and in a lot of places. So really another thing that the city could be giving us back is, what is the economic path for the city for all the businesses that are having this struggle? I do applaud many of the things that the administration had done. When it came to the hospitality workers, they did come back to help them. They weren't just helping them, they were also helping some of the landlords in the city of Quincy, because that's another tier that we have to watch for. Multifamily units, the Avalons, they're going to be okay. But the smaller people who have rental units, which many people will say that's not their problem, it is a financial burden that they will be taking on. And I don't envy that, because it's a hard thing. Hardship comes to everybody. The one thing that COVID-19 has done is it has leveled the playing field to a certain point. There are many people who are more victimized than others, but there are people from all levels that are getting hurt by this.
So will you request to table the item again, Ann?
We'll have to see what they bring back. I mean, it's not my job to do their work. They have to come back and actually show me that they have a path and that it makes sense. I'm not looking to find out. Sure, I want to know what they've done. I mean, I know that the dog park is complete. I did ask for that. They said in the paper that they only spent $500,000, but they actually spent over $1 million. And they took $300,000 of that from a different bond. That's something that we haven't discussed, but I have looked into that. You know, it's not at the council, but you know, we all have the ability to go and look at how the money's being spent. And it should be looked at, because it's the taxpayers' money. So quite honestly, before I say yes to anything, I want to know, what have we done? What have we completed? What has been done on time and on budget? And we really have to do a forensic look at that, because honestly, nothing's being really shown to us. And then really question those things. And then question what we're doing to go forward. $14 million for a build-up for the school may be the right thing to do. Or is the police station the right thing to do? When is the police station coming before us? Is that coming before us this fall? Or is that coming before us in 2 years from now? What is the plan for this administration for all of the things that they are establishing a need for? What are their priorities, and how do they plan to roll them out? Because we can't afford to do them all. And I do seriously think that that is what the taxpayers and the constituents who live in the city of Quincy are hoping that we're doing. Because quite honestly, the administration is playing with monopoly money right now. But the monopoly money is real money for the people who actually have to produce it and pay their taxes. And the one other thing I will say, Joe, is it's very interesting to me. It's a very hard thing to be unemployed. It's a very hard thing to be told that you're no longer needed for your job because of an economy and it has nothing to do with you. It's very hard whether you're 25 or whether you're 60 years old or 65. It gets harder as somebody gets older when they hear that because it's harder to find that next path. But I do think the lack of empathy that's coming from this administration is because they've never gone. Many of them have never gone without a paycheck. They don't know what it's like to actually question how they're going to be able to make their bills or pay their taxes or keep their heat on. But there are many people who are living in the city of Quincy who are struggling. Now, I don't want to paint, that sounds terrible the way I'm saying it, but it's a reality. And they just want people to understand that they want their government to remind themselves that they also have to represent them, help them find their way out as they're trying to help themselves find their way out.
So do you think public meetings, public hearings would be helpful for residents to be able to express their concerns?
I do, but I also think that there's many public meetings that there happen from zoning to the planning board, that there's multiple frustrations in the city of Quincy where people come out and they feel as though they're not being listened to, that they come out, they're encouraged to come out and to speak out, but that their voices are not being heard. But there's some frustration. I can't tell you how many seniors who have gotten in touch with me letting me know how concerned they are because they can't afford another dime to go out. That, you know, this administration has said multiple times that it's very tough because people are house rich and cash poor. Well, they're even worse now. And now is the time to actually reflect on what we're doing to make sure that we can balance that. It is our responsibility as elected officials, and it is political if you aren't taking that into consideration because you're ignoring the actual people that we represent. And it's concerning to me because, you know, we want, what I want for Quincy and what I want for the city residents is to know that we are doing what's best for all of us, not just what's best for what it looks like in the buildings that we're building and the things that we're doing, that we're actually taking into consideration the speed in which we're doing these things so that it balances the reality of what's happening right now. Nobody anticipated this. I really want to stress that. If this didn't happen, the conversations that we're having might be very different, but we do have to take into consideration. The state doesn't know how they're going to actually be able to balance it next year either. But the city of Quincy is different because we actually rely on the receipts of our tax dollars, and those are individual homeowners that really pay for the majority of what happens in the city of Quincy. But they are all letting us know, listen, this is a very tough time for all of us. Now, there's some people that are not having a hard time, but they can't float it for the rest of us. We're all having to do it together. So it's not that we don't want to see things happen, but we do want to know what the priorities are and how we're going to get there. And I think it's a fair question to ask.
All right. Anything else we should touch on today, Ann?
I don't think so, Joe. I think that's about it for me. Okay.
For folks who'd like to reach out to you, some good contact ways for them to do that?
They can always call me on my cell, 617-719-7378, or amahoney@quincymassma.gov. Those are the best ways to reach me. And I'm always available too through Facebook or IM. There's many different ways you can reach me, but those are the best ways. And I do get many phone calls from people. I think one of the things that I can say recently that I felt the best on, and I'll end it with this. And this is kind of it's an interesting one. It's a mother who is a nurse with two kids, one in college and one in high school, who lost her home because she couldn't afford the first, last, and security. And she's a nurse and she's divorced. And in the end, what happened was that she was able to get a home through Section 8, and she got her new job. She was laid off. So it was just because you're a nurse doesn't mean that you don't get furloughed. And, you know, furloughed is equivalent of being laid off when you don't have that job and you lose your ability to make that rent. So she was able to realign herself and get into another apartment here in Quincy and get her family established. And I'd say that within 3 to 6 months that she will no longer be a Section 8 person. But for that temporary situation, she was able to get into that situation, get into this home. And I will say that there are departments in the city of Quincy that work very hard to help them. That's just one story. But this isn't somebody who, you know, typically when people say, oh, you know, somebody that work the type of work that we're trying to get for the homes that we're trying to get for people so they can afford. This is a nurse, you know, somebody who was furloughed because they weren't in the ER, they weren't in the they were furloughed and they had a hard time because they lost their place that they were living in. That's the reality of what people are living in. It's a struggle. And for that brief moment of time, she was terrified that she was going to be homeless, and she's not. But, you know, that's what people live in on a day-to-day basis. And it's important that we take that into consideration as we're making those decisions. So workforce housing is important too. So any of those things that we develop, but we're going to have to really watch what we're doing in the city of Quincy.
Good to talk to you, Anne. Thanks so much.
Always, Joe. Thank you. Sorry for the technical difficulties at the beginning.
We got it worked out. So I'm glad we're able to do it. And if we can do anything else here at QATV, please reach out.
Always. Thanks, Joe. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.